Hey guys, welcome back to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. I got my boy Jay in the house co-hosting again. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on because there's so much shit I want to cover. I just want to jump into it. So Jay, what is up?
Hey everyone.
Amazing time this weekend.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. I want to talk all about it. I want to talk about the revelations. Well, to me, the revelations. Mm-hmm. To everyone else, it's going to seem simple. They're going to be like, you've already spoke on this before. But it's the lesson that I'm incorporating into my life that makes all the difference. Because now I've learned what needs to be done. Mm. And it really, again, it really, really hits home.
I think you've always known that, though.
I've known it, but now's the time to incorporate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now is the time. Now is where the lesson is learned. You put the key in, you turn it, and then you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
So gay, but so true. I'm not lying. So let's jump right into it. So first announcement is the big announcement. And my announcement is the School of Sparkles event that is taking place this September 13th through the 15th at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center is completely sold the fuck out. Congratulations, Sarah Fruman of School of Sparkles, for selling out her first major event. I have never been so proud and so fucking happy to be a part of all of this. I'm going to put this out there because I'm looking for validation and a pat on the back. But I called this. I told you, I told Michelle, and I told Sarah, I have a feeling tickets are going to sell out by July.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it was the very last day of July, but it was still July that we found out that tickets were completely sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Made my fucking day. The hard part is over. I immediately congratulated Sarah. Well, we dropped the episode last week, and like a dumb fuck, because I didn't know any better, even though I'm psychic, was that I said there was 4 tickets left. Later that day, we got word it was sold out.
Yeah, it sold out the day we dropped the episode.
Exactly. So that was good news for me, good news for everybody, because again, like the hard part's over with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all Sarah needs to do is move over and let me, Michelle, and Kate jump in and do what we need to do.
Yeah.
And that's fucking amazing to me. So much shit went on over the weekend. So many discussions, so much feeling, so much emotion, so much letting go, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel every time I go to Michelle. So again, School of Sparkles event at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center for September 13th through the 15th is completely sold out. We hope to see you at our next event. If you are looking to sign up for the next event, nothing has been planned as of yet, but go visit School of Sparkles and sign up for the email waiting list so we can have all your information when we announce the next retreat.
Yep.
Because that's going to be even bigger and better.
I'm excited.
So again, congratulations, Sarah Fruman, for selling out your first major event, girl. I am so proud of you. I gave her some shit over the weekend because I was like, aren't you fucking proud of yourself? Like, aren't you just like, you can take a step back and breathe now because the hard part's over. She's like, no, because now I got to figure out what my next step is going to be. And I was like, spoken like a true Capricorn, always achieving, always wanting to figure out what is next that she can do.
Mm-hmm. What's the next goal?
I had to grab her by her curly hair and say, no, we're going to take time to smell the fucking roses. And I put those roses in her face and was like, enjoy this, mm-hmm. because it only happens once. You're only going to have this feeling one time, and I want you to recognize it. I want it to be embedded in your soul. Maybe that's me being selfish,
mm-hmm.
but I am so proud of her because there's so many times that we decided that we were going to put an event on, and once we realized like the pricing and all that stuff, we were like, maybe we'll do it next year, and next year led to next year, and we just never got off the ground.
It's hard work.
It is hard work.
It's hard work.
But this bitch did it by herself.
Yeah.
She pulled all the strings together, laced that shit up, and tied it in a pretty bow. And it is what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so fucking excited. So let's talk about our trip to Vegas.
Let's do it.
So we ended up meeting with Michelle Prentice and Sarah Fruman on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We had planned this Vegas trip. I had some business to do out there anyway. And so we headed out and decided we were going to spend a week in there before the major event on September 13th, because who knows when we're going to be able to get together,
mm-hmm.
before then. And it's important for me to meet up with Michelle and to unload, and the same thing for her. We work every single day.
Yeah.
I do readings every day. She's got a little bit more responsibility that doesn't require her to do readings all day long,
mm-hmm.
but she's busy nonetheless. And there's a lot of psychic energy because she's going through her own stuff as well, too,
mm-hmm.
that it's good to decompress and do us. It's good to bounce ideas off each other and get readings from people that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very much looking forward to it. It was going to be rest, relaxation, and just stuffing my face with very keto-friendly food, because that's what Michelle's on. So I was looking forward to it. We ended up leaving on Friday, and let me just say something really fast here. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I should have listened to myself from the very beginning, from the very beginning, and have went through Palmdale to get to Vegas. Because in my brain, I was like, this is longer to go from the 118, because we live in Simi, the 118 to the 210 to the 215 to the 15, going all through Pasadena and getting all that shit when we can just get off on Balboa and take Balboa all the way down to the 5 to the 14 and go through Palmdale.
Uh-huh.
And then jump right on the 15.
It seems faster.
It was 2 hours faster.
It seems
faster. And beautiful scenery. The desert called me back. I told you, I grew up in Palmdale.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can.
Yeah, I was born and raised in the Valley, but my dad and my grandmother, which is his mother, lived in Palmdale. And so I grew up out there. I'm very familiar with the area and the vibe and the energy out there. So coming back and getting off on the major exit that we used to get off on all the time, which is Pier Blossom, I was like, holy shit, this is home.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so many different homes, so many different energies that when I go there, I'm like, this is familiar to me. And Palmdale is one of them. The desert welcomed me back. It's a different vibe and a different type of heat. It was blazing hot in the Valley. But when you get to Palmdale and that desert heat hits you, it's just a different feeling. And I loved it. My body fucking soaked up that desert air, the wind, the little sandstorms that were there, and just the whole vibe. And I felt alive.
And you're paying for it now.
Okay, so, and I'm paying for it now. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but you guys, I am allergic to the sun. I get sun poisoning very easily, which is unheard of because I'm half Mexican and half Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And my people are known for being out in the sun. We're sun people. And I'm the one dumb fuck that has to be allergic to it. And I can go out in the sun for a little bit. I tan within 2 minutes. I get dark as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But if I spend too much time out there, my body breaks out in a rash. And I get these tiny little bumps. It starts on my arms. And the sun doesn't necessarily have to hit me in order for it to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I obviously don't walk around with my shirt off.
You should.
Fuck off. No, he's such an idiot.
Let them free.
Oh, God. But yeah, as long as the sun is hitting me, I will get these bumps. And my body looks like road rash.
Yeah.
It is inflamed in bumps. I got too much fucking sun. Also spent a good amount of time in the pool at Michelle's with a shirt on still got fucked up.
Yeah.
So when we got home, nothing really happened that day. It was the next day that my body started to let go of all the sun, I guess.
Yeah.
And I am bumpier than bumps right now. And if anybody else knows, another part of me, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I have that phobia of bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Clusters, holes that are too close together, even like a trail of ants, it does something to me where you've seen me, I freak out. I don't like clusters of things. I don't like bumps. Even looking at like a raspberry and seeing the little bumps on there,
makes you squeamish.
Oh God, it's oh my God. I don't know if I died of like measles or like chicken pox in my earlier life or had severe acne or whatever those clusters, anything that clusters up. It doesn't necessarily have to be bumps or it could be bugs or whatever. Too close together,
mm-hmm.
I can't fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started to scratch my chest on, what was it, Monday night? The night before.
Yeah, you told me, yeah.
I felt those bumps and I was like, oh my God. And I started to touch the rest of my chest and I was like, there's not one spot on my chest that doesn't have a bump on it. And I was like, go look in the mirror. And I was like, no, I don't want to see what it looks like. Please, God. And I ended up getting up and going to the bathroom and turning the light on and almost cried.
Like, were you panicking?
I was panicking. And it itched so bad. And all I wanted to do was scratch the shit out of it to get it to bleed. Because that's, yeah, I know. And I ended up having to take a Benadryl to calm the itching down. And I passed out. Uh-huh. And the swelling went down. And I still got the bumps. They're going to be here for a couple more days.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happens when I get too much sun. Side note. But let's jump right back into the show. We always venture off. But yeah, going to Vegas. We got in around 6 p.m. We left around 1, but we had some shit to do in between that time. So we could have got there a little bit earlier, but we had stuff that we needed to take care of. And pulled up to Michelle's. Michelle's got a whole fucking spread out. Champagne. We're toasting. We're having a good time. She cooks a fabulous fucking dinner. We eat dinner. We just get to exchange information. I wanted to talk to Sarah, see how she was feeling. Again, give her a big hug, congratulate her, have a conversation with her, just kind of unravel and unload. So we ended up getting stoned. I started smoking weed again because I felt we needed to celebrate.
It is. It's definitely worth celebrating.
It is definitely worth celebrating. So we smoked, me, Sarah, and even Michelle had a couple of hits. She doesn't get stoned.
Not, no.
No. And so we just relaxed, had a good time, went to bed. That night, I didn't tell Michelle this, but I woke up. I slept in not the room that I'm used to. Sarah got the room that I'm used to. Mm-hmm. I almost beat the hell out of her for it because I was like, that's my room.
And you were trying to convince her to change the room with you?
Yeah, I was like, that room's haunted. Remember the green light that came in the ceiling and like the headboard, you know, knocking and the wall knocking and the shit falling off the windowsill? She's like, well, Michelle said that that's the room that I should stay in. I was like, well, Michelle doesn't know. And she's like, well, I don't want to stay in there. I was like, fuck, go ahead and stay in there. So I ended up staying in this bedroom that you're usually in mm-hmm. with an air mattress. And nothing scary happened in there. However, I did wake up to hearing about Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever this woman is, I told this to Michelle, but I didn't tell her while we were there. This is not meant to scare you, but I did get a hit off of you when I woke up Saturday morning. First of all, I scared the fuck out of myself because I forgot the mirrors on the wall. So when I turned over and
I saw myself.
What's the fuck? Oh my God. One of my eyes was not open all the way, so all I saw was the white part, and then my other eye, I saw the pupil, and then my fat, swollen face, which, fuck off, you gave me shit for the next morning. You were like, oh, how did you sleep? And I was like, I slept okay. You were like, because you're still wearing the pillow on the side of your face. I'm like, oh, God. But yeah, I woke up, scared the shit out of myself, looking in the mirror. I was like, Jesus. And whoever this woman was telling me to tell Michelle to let it go. And to get out of her head. She's constantly inside of her head. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're not telling me anything I don't already know. And I'm not going to tell her this when she already knows this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can do. But this woman is looking out for the best interest of Michelle. It wasn't an ominous or shady energy. This bitch was there before talking to me.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know who this is to Michelle. She says that it might be one of her girlfriends. But this seems like an older woman.
Uh-huh.
That's the impression that I got off of her. So, That kind of woke me up or whatever, and then walked downstairs, had coffee, you know, just gave Michelle a hug. She cooked breakfast, and we decided to make plans to hit the strip up. I was a little hesitant to do that because the El Paso shooting.
Mm-hmm.
God bless those people, first off. I don't post a lot of political stuff, and I don't get involved in it. Not because I don't care, but because it's just too painful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really does a number on me, especially when I have to tap into it, so I don't bring that stuff up. But doesn't mean I don't care. God bless the people from El Paso and the Ohio shootings, and even the people that the last shooting that was here in the Valley.
Yeah.
And also up in Gilroy. Is it Gilroy? Festival?
I'm not sure, but it's up north.
It doesn't mean I don't care, but I'm very hesitant going out in public now because I honestly feel, I'm going to put this out there and I might get shit for it. I feel like these are distractions.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're distractions to get us to look away while the powers that be and the other people do shit on the side.
It's misdirection.
It's exactly. So, and like a herd of sheep, I don't know, I always think of Land of the Dead, the new one, where they blow the fireworks up in the air to get the zombies to look up and distract them. That's what I feel like they're doing to us, distracting us with stupid shit like this, at the expense in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
So when the girls decided that they wanted to go to the strip and hang out, I was all for it, but at the same time, I was nervous. I was like, I don't want to be in a public place and have this happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because my first thing is to throw you on the ground and jump on top of you and shield you.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly. And then also, is it going to hurt if I get shot for saving this fucker's life? You know? But yeah, I was just scared. I was nervous or whatever. And I had to overcome that, obviously. But we made plans. We were making plans to go out and have a nice dinner, hit the strip up. But before that, we were going to do the Vortex. That's important.
Didn't we do the Vortex?
Yeah, we did. We did the Vortex on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again,
we went out on Saturday afterwards.
Afterward, yeah. Later that evening. But when we were there, it's not like, I want everyone to understand something. When we do this Vortex, you guys are going to see this when we go to Joshua Tree, for those of you that are attending. This is not like we get in a circle, we hold hands, and we're like, okay, let's do the Vortex. This is very much, grab a couch, get comfortable, let's jump into this. Mm-hmm. Just like the show. And we start reading, and I wanted to go first. And so I asked, you know, about myself. I asked to get a reading. We asked about my chart. Michelle brought up some interesting points. We talked about the last couple episodes with me getting upset about haters and people that are here to inflict misery. And I had told Michelle, I said, Sarah, I don't want to come across from a place of anger or hate, but that's very much true. We all know people that are, even Michelle said this. I brought this up to her attention. There are people that you just look at them and they're just bad people.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their face. There's just something off of them. We've all seen these types of people. We all know they're not going anywhere. And some of their jobs here on Earth is to inflict misery and hate into the lives of others. They had asked me, why do you care so much about it? And I'm not going to lie. I care to a certain extent. what I care about is the fact that I can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because had this been 5 or 6 years ago, anybody coming at me with some bullshit, this would have been handled a lot differently. This isn't gangster. This isn't fucking hood. That's just my mentality at that time. I'm no longer that person.
Mm-hmm.
So it bothers me that I can't do anything about it. But then I take a real good look at the people that are talking shit, and I'm like, they're their own punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I fell back, and I posted this on Instagram and said that I fell into sheeple shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned the lesson. And to me, when I tell people learning lessons, even though we're at a cancer season and these fucking eclipses, I keep talking about this. It's been like the fourth episode that I've been talking about this, but I learned the fucking lesson that needed to be learned. And now I'm incorporating it into my life. Do you have any fucking idea how freeing that is when you can take what was holding you back and release it?
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a factor. And this isn't coming from love and light. This isn't coming from hopeful speech. I learned what I needed to do.
Good.
And it woke me the fuck up. Practice what you preach. Don't really give a shit, because at the end of the day, you can't help people. There's millions of other people that need your help, that want to hear what you have to say. Why are you expending energy on insignificant people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this to make myself feel better, but it is the truth. I can't do anything about them. Why waste my energy on it?
Exactly.
And to hear it from three people, because you were there, that I respect, I took what I needed to hear and applied it.
Mm-hmm. But you got the message.
I got the message, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was good to hear that. Again, we gave Sarah Fruman a reading, but as we were doing all this stuff, I was talking to, during the vortex, I was giving examples, and we were talking about clients. Just not about anybody specifically, but about the things that come up during readings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm around people that I consider a peer, a colleague, a friend, my filter's off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can be me. I can cut loose. I can relax. And I could do me. I'm not fake when I come on the show, but I have to be professional.
Exactly, yeah.
And when I'm around my friends, I don't want to be professional, especially if I call you a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be me. I want to unload, and I want you to do the same thing, because we got each other.
Mm.
And so I was explaining some of the issues that I was having with people, and Sarah was like, wow. She goes, that's really, really harsh to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, it's just like that must be difficult for somebody to hear. And I was like, that's just the problem, is that nobody wants to tell anybody anything because it is difficult to hear. And we don't want to hurt people's feelings because we're conditioned to believe that it's wrong. But it's not truthful, especially if I'm calling you a friend or you're paying me $150 or $300 for a reading,
mm-hmm.
to sugarcoat. You might as well go pay $25 to the psychic down the street,
mm-hmm.
to hear what a great warrior princess you were in your past life and how you're going to marry Prince Charming in this lifetime. Because that's what you're looking for. And I honestly believe if you're coming to seek the services from me, you've reached a point where, again, I don't want to be the end-all, be-all with psychics.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be authentic and true in what I do. And again, what backs me up and what holds it true is that I'm confirming something to you that only you know about.
Yeah.
I'm confirming your deepest, darkest fear and bringing it to the surface. Whether you choose to let it out completely, it's totally up to you. But we're getting to the core of what's wrong with you because you asked me to. And you trust in my opinion. And I don't deliver in a way where you're hopeless. I always say if you're codependent in a relationship, you got to find your own strength.
Mm-hmm.
If you're shy, you got to figure out a way to put yourself out there that's comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not happy with your job, what's holding you back? Are you not a team player? Do you have issues with people? There's things that you need to overcome before you jump right into the saddle of something else, because that will be short-lived, because like I've said before, you can't avoid the lessons. So my approach is very direct, it's very upfront and very honest with people.
Yeah.
And sometimes it hurts people's feelings, but in order, there's so much I want to go over. So before I jump into that really fast, so we got the confirmation. I got what I needed to hear from me. Sarah got what she needed. Michelle got what she needed. You got what you needed. I kind of took away from that thinking, God, because you hear the opinions and the expressions of the people that you trust. Like Sarah was like, that's harsh. And I was thinking, fuck, I put this out there on Instagram. Am I really coming across too harsh? She didn't mean it harsh. Like, you are just a miserable fuck. She's like, I had to understand what she was saying. And she was like, that's harsh for the person hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I know that, but you're asking me for the truth. And she goes, I know, she's all, but I don't think people understand what you're giving them when you give it to them. Like, it has to sting a little bit. I was like, I know, but my intention isn't, she's like, I know you're not, I'm not saying that you're there to hurt people, she's like, but I'm wondering how the other person is taking it, because I told her something about herself that was a little bit uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
but she's like, I needed to hear it.
Yeah.
So again, I you know me, I have to get the opinions of people that I trust. I immediately called Heather and I was like, sis, I need to talk to you. And she was like, what's up? This is my sister. I love her so much. She's fucking cooking dinner, feeding her family, and giving me advice all at the same time. I fucking love it. I love when she multitasks like that. She was like, you got to take a step back. She'll remember the conversation that we had back when we first started working together. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, it wasn't easy to be friends with you at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. She saw, because you didn't allow me to hide from who I was. She's like, you weren't horrible, but I felt like you were looking right through me every fucking time that we spoke. And she said, I've told you this before, while everybody is going in that straight line formation and just following one after the other, you come in and you're like, why are you following this person? Why are you doing this? And their answer is always because that's what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, you never questioned it. You just did it because everybody else is doing it. It's not effective. Try it this way. And we reorganized that entire company. And she was like, that's what you do. She's like, and people aren't used to that. And she's like, and you're very matter of fact when you talk to people. Like, don't you understand this? And people that aren't ready to hear it can kind of be a little embarrassed or kind of a little bit shell-shocked when it comes to it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, don't stop doing what you're doing. She's like, because that's what you're here to do.
Yeah.
And I started crying. Because again, like I understand that. And again, I don't want to come from a place of ego and pride and say I'm the best psychic out there. But in order for there to be change, there has to be destruction of oneself in order to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a little hardcore and that sounds a little over the top, but it's true.
I think it's true.
You have to break down your foundation. And sometimes, Michelle said this too, a good shock to people's systems is exactly what they need to rewire them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very cognizant of who I can do that with and who I can't do that with.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to be known for. So Michelle had asked a very important question. Chris, what is it that you want to do? I was like, what do you mean, what do I want to do? She's like, what is your mission here? And I was like, oh, here we go with the flag planning thing again. But she was like, are you here just to be famous? For fame?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but not the fame that you're thinking. I don't want to be a reality TV star. I don't want to be an actor. I don't want to be a social media influencer. What I want to be is a guide and a mentor. I want to be a motivational speaker. And if that leads to fame because people are waking up to what I'm saying and I'm changing lives and I'm being recognized for it, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But my number one goal isn't to be famous like some other people with big mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have a big mouth doesn't mean you're providing substance with it.
Yeah.
You're not speaking on anything other than just being angry. My mission is to wake people up and to remind them that, sure, we can make a great team, but we're also great on our own.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to realize their individuality. I'm sick of people living vicariously through other people when that could be them. You know, somebody gets engaged and everybody starts, congratulations, there's nothing wrong with congratulating them.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, wow, you seem so happy. I wish I had this, whatever. What do you mean you wish? Go get that. She did it.
Mm-hmm.
So can you. Go do it. Stop living vicariously through everybody else. Stop following the words and wisdom of somebody else for wishful thinking, and you're not doing anything with it. I want to bring out you, your potential, and what you bring to the table. You were born here for a reason, with your own way of thinking. You look different than everybody else. Be proud of that. That's what I want to do. I want people to reclaim their power or come into their power and realize that they're great on their own and start waking them the fuck up, first and foremost. And again, if that leads to fame because I'm being recognized for it, for my mission and what I bring to the table,
mm-hmm.
then so be it.
It's just a bonus.
It's just a fucking bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was all about that life, there'd be, and I hate this, taking pictures. I would be so about myself, but I'm not.
Uh-huh.
Who cares what I look like? If I could be a voice in the sky that came down to provide insight, even where you didn't have to see me, even better. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Then post a picture of a light that's me.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not doing it for the sake of doing it with no mission or no purpose. I think a lot of people get involved in spirituality and they think this is the key to success or fame if I uplift and motivate people. But I've said this before, these people that you're looking up to, their lives are shittier than yours. This is just a gimmick for them.
Mm-hmm.
I practice what I preach. I do what I say I'm going to do. and I'm authentic with who I am. There's no smoke and mirrors. There's no, I'm very well aware of my faults, and I have people like you that remind me that I'm human and also remind me, hey, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that, right?
Yeah.
That was eye-opening for me. The fact that I got to hear all this, it was reiterated again. They didn't tell me anything that I didn't already know, but to me, when you learn the lesson, you incorporate it, and you project it outward like I'm doing now, it's a huge weight lifted off your shoulder. I really feel like I learned something karmically. I feel like I learned the lesson, and now it's time to move on.
Did it feel like a light bulb going off?
Actually, it did. Mm-hmm. And it felt lighter. So fast forward, so just really fast, ended up staying over at Michelle's again after the vortex. We did like 4 hours of this, didn't even realize it. And then we were like, okay, what do we need to do? Because we're going to get stuck sitting here. Let's get up and go to the strip.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Went to Caesar's.
Yeah.
And had food. We grubbed Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
Got super stoned, ate fucking best food ever. Walked around and I burned off what we drank. I burned off what we ate. And it was just so fucking hot. We ended up, I was like, I'm done with this. Like, let's just go back to the house. Let's get in the pool and just fucking relax and just watch the movies or hear some music.
And you passed out in the Uber.
The sun overdid it for me. I passed out.
Yeah.
Fell asleep in the, I could not fucking help it. I was like, I am fucking done. We got to the house and I was like, oh my God, I just stripped all my clothes off, jumped in that fucking pool and was in there for like 4 hours and then got out and just fucking chilled, had dinner. We ordered Thai food.
Yeah,
I got Thai food.
Yeah,
and just chilled out. The next day, we got up, did the same thing all over again. Sarah left early.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up spending a couple more hours with Michelle, just kind of reiterating what was going on and how we were feeling about things,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out when we were going to meet up with each other. I could not wait to get home because, again, as antsy, as much as I want to be there, is as much as I want to go home,
mm-hmm.
and I want to incorporate the lessons. I want the takeaway to be here because I'm open there.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want to like go back and decompress and absorb everything.
Absorb everything, mm-hmm. correct. And so I ended up passing out early on Sunday. We both did. And I had this dream, and I'm going to get to this right now. And for those of you that are into dreams, I know a lot of people email me and ask me for dream analysis. I'm going to get into a little bit of that on today's episode. But I was handed a golden rose.
Mm-hmm.
This big, beautiful golden rose. This is not made up. The petals didn't look like gold, like a gold necklace. The color of it was very reminiscent of gold, and there was an outline of gold around it. There was a lot of gold energy around the actual rose. But the rose looked like the color of a golden gardenia. You know how the gardenias are the gold ones that we have out front?
It's like kind of yellowish.
Kind of yellowish, goldy color. That's what the rose looked like, but they told me it was a gold rose. And there was these gold doors that had red trim on them. In any one of the doors that were there, they told me that it was gonna provide opportunity and luck. And any time that I see gold in a session or in my mind's eye when it comes to somebody, usually there's gold sparkles around somebody. Like if they ask me about a job, I'll say there's gold sparkles about something and I see a hand shaking. So you're gonna probably either get some sort of promotion or something that you've been waiting for karmically that's owed to you is gonna come here. Gold reminds me of karmic energy.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the doors were gold, this golden rose was here, and I'm very big on roses, was opportunities coming, and the red represents power to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be something powerful karmically coming towards me. That's an opportunity that I'll have a selection, but anyone that I choose isn't going to be wrong. That's not wishful thinking. I know when this kind of stuff happens, because I don't dream of that often,
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, okay, there's something to look forward to. That's all that they give me. And that's
really
all
cool.
that I fucking need, where other people would be spinning their wheels and being like, well, what's it going to be? The fact that I know that there's opportunity coming, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to try to go above and beyond. I will be more cognizant and look for opportunity or confirmation of when to jump. But the fact that, again, they're telling me that it's gold, that there's some sort of power behind it, and the fact that there was a rose being handed to me, is an offering or a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, and that also could be the epiphany that I had with the sessions that we had with Michelle and Sarah.
That's true.
That you learned this lesson. Now that you've had this, look what we're going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And it might sound hokey to you guys, but that's what I do. Those are my readings. That's how it comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I get my hits for myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
I feel different. I feel like again, I don't want to go all love and light and say that, you know, that I've been awakened, but it's a lesson that I struggled with for a long ass fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the clarity that I needed from Michelle and from Sarah and also from you and just hearing everything going on really did something to me. So I honestly don't feel like I can fall back into that old trap.
Good.
As much as I want to, or as much as that I'm afraid to, the thought, it's really, I don't know how to put this other than that fear is no longer there. like the what if, I would be able to like before this would bother me, and I would be like, well, what can I do? I can get back at this person and say X, Y, and Z, or I can put this out there. That thought process isn't there. Very much like at the very beginning of this podcast, when we started this, I said, I was so fucking nervous to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking of all these bad things. I tried to think of all the bad things that could go wrong, and they kept blocking that energy for me. Mm-hmm. They were like, you don't need to, it's going to be fine. Just do it. They wouldn't allow me to be negative about it. That's how I feel about this.
Good.
So it's a lesson fucking learned. It was fucking difficult, but it was a lesson fucking learned. It just didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. I got the concept of it. I've been talking about this. The reason why I spread this so much around, or I want this to be known, is because I want you to grow with me. I want you to see what it's like for what I'm going through, mm-hmm. and how I'm utilizing it in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might do something for you or somebody else that's listening. That's very much getting this energy.
That's awesome.
So that's where I'm at. What do you want to say? What did you get out of it?
I think they want to see me doing more of my own thing.
Uh-huh.
And I totally see that point. But right now I'm just focused on doing what we're doing. And once I accomplish that, I can jump on something else. I have like a one track mind.
Uh-huh.
So once I finish something, I can move on to the next.
First things first.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes it feel like I'm leading you around, and that's not the case. I think that people don't understand, again, we've said this before, about our friendship because we're so close.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point that I'm trying to prove to people, is that these are the types of relationships that you should have with people.
Mm-hmm.
To be yourself and to let go and to be so comfortable with each other that nothing matters.
It's true. Like, I don't have to explain myself to you all the time, because you get what I'm feeling and what I'm going through. So I really enjoy that about what we have. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have to explain anything to you. You get it. And maybe it's because you're psychic, but I think you feel the same way. And I can kind of read the same thing about you. You're going through your own shit, and we don't really have to speak much to each other.
No, and that's the beauty of an honest friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just it's sad that we're conditioned to believe that there's something wrong because of the closeness. But that's what people are looking for in a friendship and a relationship.
Yeah,
and friendships and relationships shouldn't have to be that hard. If you're constantly trying to prove yourself to the other person and it's falling flat, or you're not being heard, that is a problem.
Or explaining yourself all the time.
Exactly. And if you're the one constantly putting yourself out there and overextending yourself, and the person's gotten used to it, and there's really no trying, or there's no meeting halfway, you know what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for you, and it's not good for that other person. You're holding yourself back from your potential happiness, and you're holding that person back from learning the lessons that they need to learn about themselves. That they can't, like, no one else is going to put up with their miserable personality, or the things that they, you know, they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to go through our own shit and deal with it.
Yeah.
And until you deal with it, there's no room on your plate for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Don't gas yourself up and think that you can do it all. Don't think you can multitask lessons with love and all that stuff here. Learn the lessons first, that way that you're free and you're open to receive and give love appropriately.
Exactly.
As well as with friendships too. If you're not there, or you just don't have that in you, there's nothing wrong with that, but be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Stop holding yourself back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going down a whole different topic, but that was the biggest takeaway here was, again, it's authenticity. And when Michelle, also one other thing, when Michelle had asked me, what do you want to do here? My guides were like, not all of it has been revealed yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you know right now. There's other things going to be coming in here. So I told her, this is what I want to do. But then again, at the same time, I'm taking it day by day. Not everything has come into fruition where it needs to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is my mentality right now in this space and time.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to lead me to doing what I want to be doing here, which again is changing the lives of others. But there's lessons that I need to go through in order for me to do that, which is understanding people and my approach versus the way that they're taking it, and trying to find that balance there, which I think that I found.
Mm-hmm. It's a learning experience.
It's a huge learning experience. So mm-hmm. just because I'm psychic and I'm a medium doesn't mean I'm not going through lessons here. I haven't fully evolved into the person that I'm going to evolve into.
Yeah.
I'm still learning and growing, and I want people to watch and witness this here and know that, look, he's going through his everyday life things, but he's also learning the lessons and applying them, and we're seeing this growth here as an example, as something to look at and be like, this person not only practices what he preaches, but he's also going through some shit. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to relate to everybody. I can't do it to everyone, mm-hmm. but I want to be relatable. I want you to see what happens when you start from the bottom and work your way to the top.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Does that sound too egotistical?
No, it's true. I mean, you are relatable to a lot of people, and I think that's why people resonate to your message mm-hmm. and what you're trying to do.
I also, again, I feel like psychics have gotten such a bad rap. Look what we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah was very much like, you're not like people, like we really need to change the perception of psychics to people, because what they're expecting is you to give them these, this false hope and these false readings, and that's not what you're doing. And I'm like, exactly. Thank you for noticing that. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, I think we've gotten enough false hope. I think we've been lied to enough.
I think they're trying to paint a pretty picture, and not every picture is going to be very pretty.
Exactly. Some pictures are going to be gorgeous. They're going to be beautiful. There's only a couple lessons that you need to go through,
mm-hmm.
but not a lot of people want to go through those lessons
yeah.
and put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like I said, I am very much awake. I feel good.
Good.
I feel like I've honestly, you're looking at me like I'm being gay. And
always
gay. But it's true. I heard it. I absorbed it. I learned it. I'm going to start projecting it outward. And I did a couple of readings since we've been back and felt good about them. Felt really good. Not that I didn't feel good about the readings before, but my approach now, as far as like this, here's how we're going
to
do this.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't wait to use your new skill or your new knowledge.
I could. Yeah. You have to.
Uh-huh.
I have to start incorporating it. I have to breathe it in and start utilizing it in my everyday life. Because mm-hmm. if not, what's the point?
Yeah.
Just because I know it. I mean, like I said, people want to know the lesson. They don't want to put the work into it and incorporate it into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it, and I'm doing it.
Good.
So, see, what else do we want to go over today? I know that we have a couple of emails. Some people are reaching out asking. Well, first of all, everyone loved last week's episode with the phone sex.
Uh-huh.
I got so many people reaching out, and they were like, you've led so many different lives that I had no idea that you did phone sex. And I was like, yeah, that, among other things. But yeah, I wanted to share that story. There's so much more behind it. I'm going to do an episode with Annabelle DeSisto on it, hopefully soon, about the phone sex. She wants me to get into the meat and bones of it, so you guys are going to hear it on her episode. I wanted to save it for that, but so many people were reaching out. I want to talk about dreams. Again, I had that dream with that golden rose and those golden doors. Don't discount your dreams, because again, that's confirmation. If you, my Virgos, one thing about you today, because you guys are very much thinkers and analyzing throughout the day, a lot of times your dreams come in and they show you things that you miss throughout the day that they want to get your attention on. So for people that are very analytical and using their mind all throughout the day, as far as like for work or figuring things out, or they're always constantly analyzing, they don't have time to go within, pay attention to your dreams. I suggest keeping a dream journal or at least a tape recorder there. Like I said, with Bill Cooper, that fucker was screaming at me because I was a lazy fuck, and he made me get a tape recorder to record my dreams.
Did you really use it, though?
I did. I spoke into it. I still have the recorder upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't delete any of that stuff. And that stuff goes all the way back to 2007 or 2008.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's where I got my symbolism, was in my dream with the golden rose and the golden doors.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, dreams are very important. Pay attention to them. That's your subconscious speaking to you. That's you talking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just very light on dreams. I'll make a whole episode on that as well, too. But I do want to cover an email really fast. So before we go jump on to something else, Gianna, right?
Yep.
Gianna,
mm-hmm.
I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, reached out via email and asked how sex dreams play a role in
regards to spiritual and psychic connections to one another.
You pretty much answered your own question, my love. Whenever I am dreaming, this is me. Whenever I'm dreaming sexually about somebody else, that other person is thinking about me.
Really?
Yes. There is some sort, and that's not the case for everyone. That person is probably thinking of you, or you're thinking of them, and it's guiding you towards that other person. There's probably some business or some sort of connection that you need to make with that person. Not all the time. You could be a total pervert or pig and manifest these things into yourself, but if it's coming out of nowhere, pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I answered that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I knew when my, maybe it's because I'm psychic. I knew when my ex was thinking about me. I had a dream. I had dreams of him a week straight,
mm-hmm.
of having sex, meeting up, being in love, and doing all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thinking about me, but there was no way to go back to it. It was just no.
Really?
It's done. Yeah.
So you had that dream about your ex after you guys broke up?
After we broke up. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw him for a week straight in my dream, and then actually ran into him at my job, because they were doing construction on the building. Out of all the places in the valley to do work on,
uh-huh.
you did it at my place of employment, and ran into this person at the break room. There was a restaurant downstairs in the lobby. I ran into him having lunch there on his lunch break, and I was like, I had to do a double take. I was like, holy, and I got nervous. I started crying. I panicked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll have to get into that relationship another time.
So you really wanted him to work on you, huh?
You're disgusting. You are trash. I wanted him to nail me like he does his wood. No, but yeah, pay attention to your sex dreams. I mean, it could be you thinking about them, you wanting to reach out, or them doing the same thing too. There's always some sort of connection.
Mm-hmm.
There's unfinished business there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I also remember that one lady that I did the reversals for,
uh-huh.
where that guy was coming in and raping her in her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
She said she couldn't get him out of her head because mm-hmm. he had done some sort of voodoo or some sort of ritual on her. To where he was, like I said, raping her in her dreams. When mm-hmm. we did that reversal, he's the one that got in the car accident on the 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you said this on one of the past episodes,
right? I did, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So pay attention to those. Okay, so our next email is from Shay.
She writes, if you can communicate with the soul of someone who has passed on, does that mean they are done coming back to live as a human and will remain in their spirit form?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it is the soul, the essence, the presence of the person. Doesn't necessarily mean it's them, if that makes sense. The way that I interpret death or the spirits that come in, it's either you are still here because there's unfinished business, you're not ready to go, to your life is over and you're done. And I've said this before, you become a light. I don't know how else to put that.
Mm-hmm.
You stay up there. Or 3, you die and you come back.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
So anything can happen.
And yeah, it's usually those 3 things that happen. So if somebody is here, it's because they choose to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could pick up the essence. Like, let's say that they lived in the house that they died in and you're there. You very much can pick up on the essence of that person there. Mm-hmm. It's their energy, not their soul that's there,
mm-hmm.
but the energy that they left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always tell you, I bet you the houses that we live in after we move out are haunted.
Because of all the energy.
Because of all the energy that takes place there. So if they're communicating with you, that's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they have the ability to come back into go into form, or what they're doing is communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer, or is that very vague?
I think what she's asking is, if you're communicating with a spirit, does that mean they're done coming back? They're done being reincarnated?
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
Okay.
It could be that they're doing this for a short amount of time. They're here to learn lessons, or whatever the case that's going on up there, that their soul's not done evolving from up there to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's why they have the ability to do so.
I see.
It's so trippy to answer questions like that, because I feel like I'm crazy for saying that. But
uh-huh.
that's been my own experience. I've asked them, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go. Like when I read that kid, my friend that took me to the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
she had asked me to read. Well, she tricked me, first of all. The first reading that we did was on her nephew that died. He had a heroin overdose
mm-hmm.
and died. I read him. And then she was like, I want to go walk up to another site, just to see what you get off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. So we walked up and I heard, hi, it's you again. I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, shut up. Don't say anything. She's like, are you getting something? I'm like, yeah. And I asked the spirit, you know her?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, she comes here to visit me every now and then. Tell her I appreciate it, but she doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my friend, I was like, do you know this guy that I'm this gravesite? And she goes, why? And I was like, just answer the question. Do you know him? And she was like, not personally.
Mm-hmm.
I know the story. And he goes, she knows my ex-girlfriend. And I was like, okay. And I was like, so what happened to you? And he says, I hung myself.
Mm-hmm.
I killed myself. And whether you say, I don't feel like he's trapped here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he wants to be here. And he said, like I've said before, I thought it was going to take everything away, but it didn't. It actually hurt more people than I realized it was going to do. And I wish I could take it back.
Wow.
And I got a little emotional and I got upset at the same time at her, because I was like, don't fucking bring me to people that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fucking gimmick here. I'm not smoke and mirrors and your fucking entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Now this fucker is going to stick with me for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And not to haunt, but I can pick because he wants to talk.
Mm-hmm. You don't want that feeling.
I don't want that feeling. And so I was like, okay. I was like, oh, well, I'll let her know. And I said, he appreciates you coming here, but you don't have to. I said, and just, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know this guy. Leave him alone.
Wow.
And it blew her fucking mind. She's like, you got all that? I was like, yes. After that was done, because I had read her nephew, and what this is the whole backstory to this. When I read her nephew, that was the first, it wasn't the first medium reading I did, but it was the first medium reading that I did that was documented.
It was significant.
It was, there you go. It was significant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same day where I felt like my head was wide open at the top. It felt like I'm not lying. I felt like I was being, Like, my head was wide open on the top, and there was information that was coming from above. I could hear everything. Everything was magnified times 10, and I'll get into a funny story about that. And as we were walking away from the gravesite, I said, you know, thank you for speaking to me. You know, I told her nephew that you provide some clarity and some closure to her, and this is what she needed. I'm leaving. He said, okay. As I was walking away, my guide said, look, a gift for you. And I was like, where? And they told me to look down, and I shit you not, there was a cross stuck in the ground, straight up. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I picked it up, and I was like, they told me that here's a gift. And my friend looked at it, she's like, oh, my God. And I was like, yeah, that was 2007 or 2008. 2007 or 8, been carrying that cross with me ever since.
Yeah.
And that is my karmic gift from above. I honestly feel that. So I got the cross, went to go visit that kid that hung himself, went to go have lunch afterward. And like I said, my head was open. Everything sounded magnified times 10. She kept fucking dropping the silverware, not on purpose, but like she unraveled her napkin, the silverware fell out and hit the fucking table. It was like a fucking bulldozer hit the side of my fucking head. I was like, can you be any more
clumsy?
Yeah, or clumsy. And she's like, what's wrong? I said, I just hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's that kid. So going back to Shay's question, he didn't want to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He felt bad, and I'm almost feeling like he felt like he had to live out his karma by being here because he was comfortable.
Wow.
Yeah. But that pissed me off when it was just a random person, because I don't want to make connections with random people if I don't have to.
Yeah.
It's different than when I'm giving a reading. But when you're trying to test me,
it's a different story.
It's a different story, and it's just different energy. And thank God the guy was very polite. We've had, you know, medium readings where the guy's cursing at me, calling me a faggot and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, holy shit. So, yeah. And also, too, who you were in your life, if you leave here and you're not wanting to go or you're not wanting to ascend, you're going to be that miserable fuck in your afterlife.
That's
you don't
crazy.
Just get your wings and you go up to heaven and it's all's well, or you go to hell. It's not how it works. So, again, it trips me out when I see other mediums do what they do on TV, because I'm like, that's not how I get it.
It trips me out too, because like my only medium reading was from you, and that's like super impactful and it was amazing. And like,
it's happened a couple of times.
It has, but there's only one that like I really remember that's like, it's super special, getting a medium reading.
That's at the very beginning of our friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that blew your mind away.
Mm-hmm. That made me a believer.
Yeah, that was special for you. But yeah, like it's, I don't know. I'm not that kind of medium where I honestly feel, why would you come and talk to me if you don't know me?
Mm-hmm.
It's different if I'm in your territory where you died and I'm picking up your energy. But if I'm giving a medium reading to somebody and they want to talk to their mother, or I'm walking into something like these ghost hunting shows.
So you're not one of those ghost hunters to go visit like cemeteries or houses to see?
No. Well, you saw the way that I was when we went to that abandoned cemetery in Oregon.
It was.
That scared the fuck. Tell the story.
I don't remember it, but I just remember it was scary.
It was like fucking 20 degrees cooler going up that hill and where we were at.
Yeah.
And how about that old school Ouija board that we found on the floor? That wooden Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the grass. I was like, holy shit, in the graves, some of the stones were knocked over. Some of the graves were dug into. And I kept feeling like somebody was around the corner watching us.
They were old.
They were old ass fucking graves.
It was
graves.
Like in the 1700s.
Yeah. And I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here. But everywhere we lived has been some sort of a haunting or some sort of energy in there. So Shay, I hope I didn't go too far off the road with this one, but it's just not as cut and clear as other mediums make it out to be,
especially
the way it works for me. But again, all our abilities are different. I they have to be contacting somebody.
Yeah.
Who it is, I don't know.
That's crazy.
But yeah, what other questions do we have here? I want to get a couple of these out because, again, we get so many coming in. Okay, so the next one, it's pretty much what, how soon is too soon to move on from a relationship?
Yeah. With a big grin on your face?
Yeah, because only you would know that. If you are moving on as a distraction from the previous relationship, you're not doing yourself any good by jumping into one without learning the lessons of who you are in a relationship and why you're feeling the need to move on so quickly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, allow yourself the opportunity to learn the lesson from the previous relationship, take accountability for your actions and why it didn't work out, and give yourself time to heal. Do not be codependent and think that your life starts the minute you get yourself involved in a fucking relationship. Take the time to do you. Take the time to figure out who you are and what you want in a relationship, and also what your contribution is going to be in the relationship as well. Because remember, it's 50-50.
Oh, wow. Because that there's a second part to it. It says, am I missing out on a great guy by not opening up, or am I being smart by not falling for a good guy act? So you kind of answered it with that.
If it's an act, you will know. If that person's not true to who they are, and you're allowing them the opportunity to trick you when you already have that instinct that there's some sort of facade or some sort of illusion about them, get the fuck out of there. Don't waste your time. Learn your lesson and move on. What is wrong with staying single until you found the right person?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to settle and sabotage your love life? And I know this girl, and she's a very beautiful woman. I say girl, then I say woman. But she's a very beautiful woman that, I mean, can pretty much have any guy that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Do yourself justice by picking the right one. And if you don't know, send that fucker to me and I will vet him for you. Because nobody's messing with you. And I want you to get out of your own way, my love, and find the relationship that works for you because you deserve it. You're a good girl, good woman, with a good heart and a good soul. Take your time with relationships. Good?
We're good.
Okay. What else? Anything that you want to go over? Anything? What was the big takeaway from you really fast before we close it out? Because I want people to hear from you. Sarah likes your perspective. She says you kind of round out the episodes, which I think you do, because you kind of tone it down and you bring a level of, kick my fucking teeth in, the level of a common folk in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Exactly. You have the opinion of the common folk. So, I'm just kidding. But yeah, what was your takeaway from the vortex?
Again, it's a learning experience each and every time, and seeing different perspectives and different views on things. And again, I don't know. It's just a huge learning experience, confirmations, messages. And it's just, you got to go into situations with your mind and eyes open in order to see different perspectives and views on things. And
you have insight to what most straight men would love to have insight on, which is the mind of a woman.
Oh,
you've
true.
Got the mind of a gay guy, me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also introducing you to a whole bunch of different women.
Mm-hmm.
Because they come through me, and we hang out, and you get to experience all that. So pay attention to what you're learning and what you're absorbing from the mind of a woman. So when you get your ass in a relationship, look at the smile on his face. Jesus Christ, you guys, horrible.
I wonder who it's going to be.
Oh, God. you are equipped to handle it, because the kind of girl that you're looking for, your taste is a Scorpio. You love Scorpio women, and Scorpio and Cancer go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that being is because they're both water, and they're both emotional, touchy-feely crybabies. And what you're looking for is to be the Prince Charming in the relationship. This is there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm not throwing you under the bus. A lot of women would love to be in a relationship with a man like you, because you don't mind doting on the woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is not because I'm a man, I need to do it, but you're naturally nurturing. And I need to put this out there, because I told Michelle this briefly over the weekend. You have the ability to heal through your hands.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this one early on in the relationship. I was like, there's something that I need to experience, and it wasn't you rubbing my tits or, you know, fondling me, but I need you to put your hands on me because there's something healing about your touch.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I used to have really bad back problems at the very beginning of our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you, can you rub this kink out? And whatever you were doing, the heat from your hands really loosened me up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a story to this. There's the reason why I'm saying all this. You're naturally nurturing. You're naturally healing. You don't mind playing that position in a relationship. But I really feel like that could be at your own detriment, because that person's going to always look for that in the relationship. And when you find that you're being taken advantage of emotionally, because this has happened between us and we're just friends, you get a little resentful. So learn your boundaries and realize that you can't come into the relationship doing it all, that you have to make them be accountable and responsible for themselves in the relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
So being around all these women and hearing all their stories about how they wish a man could treat them, pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. Because as you start to get in a relationship, because you're going to end up getting married, you're probably going to have at least one kid, it's wise for you to know all this so you're equipped to handle it during the relationship. And you can also reference things back that you learned when it comes to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And also it gives you the opportunity for you to be nurturing towards yourself, and to be very specific on what you want in a relationship for yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Like, being around you and everyone that we know, it's a huge learning experience for me to become a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. Like, sitting in on the spiritual vortex and everything, it's like, it's, again,
because a learning experience. Last thing I want to do is I want to have a beef with the bitch that you're with. I mean, because if I see that she's taking advantage of you, this isn't Chris coming into, like, mom mode or being Captain Save-A-Ho, but I know your soul, I know your essence, and I know your presence, and you're a very good man.
Mm-hmm.
And to have some bitch come in there and take advantage of it, she's out. I don't care how attached you are to her.
A Chris seal approval?
Oh, well, not just that, but again, I'm going to be, I'm your friend, I'm your best friend, I'm your brother, I'm your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I want what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, again, it's not what I want, it's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Not on my watch is somebody going to come in here and take advantage of you.
And same, likewise, if Mike comes in, he's a total dick. I mean, I would tell you, pull you aside, like, hey.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I think that the dynamic is going to be different between me and Mike versus you and your girlfriend, because I'm going to be looking for trouble. If you're not. If he needs to be rude to me or rough me up in the corner, maybe, you know, put me in my place, it's probably because I need it. Again, ladies, this is a kind of guy that most of you guys are looking for. So I'm kind of putting you out there right now.
Oh, thanks.
And just, you know, letting people know how fabulous you are. And mm-hmm. everybody loves you. Michelle loves the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah loves you. Sarah's, you know, always picking on you. You guys are always going back and forth.
I do want her to do my chart. She's fantastic at it.
But love yourself a good Capricorn, though. Michelle's a Capricorn.
Yeah, they explain things a little different, a little more technical.
Uh-huh.
A little more detailed and descriptive than other people would.
Yeah, Sarah, believe it or not, is actually really good at reading charts.
Yeah.
So, well, have her read your chart. Have her take a look at it and see.
Sarah, read my chart.
That's him asking you, Sarah.
Please.
So, yeah, please. Just like last week's episode, we are all over the place. But again, I don't have anything else that I want to talk about other than this journey right now, because it's so personal to me, and this is my show. Mm-hmm. These are my experiences. I want to bring on the experiences of others, but as I'm learning these key lessons here, I feel it's important to share, because again, going through it, learning a lesson, incorporating it, and projecting it outward is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't learn the lesson and move on. Okay, I got it, blah, blah, blah. Because you don't understand the full meaning behind it. You don't understand how that energy works or the lesson behind all that stuff. And that's what I want to show people, is that, look, got it, incorporating it, fixing this part of me, you will never see that side of me again. Will I slip every now and then? I'll do my best not to, but could happen, but I'm well aware of it now.
That's good.
And one last thing, and then I'm done with this, relationships. I've been talking about, you know, everyone's like, you know, well, Mike didn't come through. This is not a cop-out. My mind is changing when it comes to Mike.
I believe relationships will come when they're supposed to.
I don't, like, I used to think this is what I wanted. And again, people put out there, you know, he's going to be a couple of years older than you. He's going to have, like, silver hair and all this stuff. You have to remember something, you assholes. In order for me to be in love with him or attracted to him, he's got to be attractive to me. And if he looks old or he looks like he's two sneezes away from hospice, it isn't working for me. That's not my soulmate. I don't care what you say. I don't work that way. You learn to love people like that. No, I have to be attracted to you. That's my own Chris thing. So he can have silver hair or maybe, you know, graying on the sides. But if he looks old, it ain't him.
Well, your mind might change.
And if he's goofy in like a dorky sort of way, that's not him. He could be goofy with a sense of humor when we're by ourselves. But if he doesn't project an appearance of
a strong masculine.
Because I'm very feminine,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking for a man. I'm not looking for an equal to who I am. That's too feminine.
You don't need two queens?
No. There's only one queen on this ship, and that's me. I want a very masculine fucking man. So these people that are coming and telling me, he's going to be the... Shut the fuck up. He's not going to be that, because I'm not attracted to that. And I will not learn to love a feminine person.
Maybe.
Fuck off. There's no fucking way. Don't tell me. This isn't being selective. I know what I want in a relationship. And in order for it to work, he's got to have a strong presence. And he cannot be weak, and he cannot be... when I say weak, I'm talking about if I... this is probably horrible to say, but if I can find that weakness in you and I'm dating you, it's over. It's over. I can't. So I can do salt and pepper hair or gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
I know looks aren't everything, but I have to be attracted to him in order for me to sleep with him. That's why I could never be a full-blown whore for money.
Full-blown.
I can't. Because they have to be somewhat attractive. In order for me to get wet and get going, you've got to bring something to the fucking table. I may not be the best looking motherfucker in the world, but I can hold my own. It has to be the same in return. So I appreciate the well wishes from you and telling me that this is what you think it is, but I know what I want and I'm not settling.
Well, I'm
excited. You should follow that advice too.
Who?
You. Because you want to get involved in... Here comes bus. Jay, here you go right underneath it. You're looking for simplicity. That's not a bad thing. You're looking for somebody that you can just be comfortable with. That's in your makeup. That's fine. That's what you want. There's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of women, whether they choose to admit it or not, want that same thing too. They want, but I want that too, but I want the glitz of power in it. I want that strength there. I'm tired of being the strong one in all the relationships. Mm-hmm. You love being the strong one. You love taking care of.
Yeah.
But you also love being taken care of because there's things that I do for you that you love. Like
you cook.
Like I cook or I, you know, I go like when I'm at the market or whatever, there's certain things that you like and I bring it home. Not because I'm gay and I want you to love, but because it's what you do that. I know you so well.
Yeah.
You would do the same. Well, I don't know if you do the same thing for me because you're not wired that way, but you're here for me emotionally when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes a good friendship. But in relationships, I've always been the one to do things and no more. I'm not saying that I want to be taken care of like a little princess. I want it to be equal, but I want that person to put a little bit more effort into it and to let me know I got you.
You want to be treated like a queen.
And you're
looking for a king.
I'm looking for a king, not another queen.
That's what I'm saying. Like
nothing
you're...
Nothing against femme gay guys, but why would I want to bump pussies with somebody else?
What?
That's how I look at it. You have nothing there that I want. What are we going to be both moaning in bed like two women? Horrible.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. I want the grunting of a man. I want it to be like a fucking, like a jailhouse scene.
So like a bear.
Fuck. Ugh. No. That's not good. How about just one last thing and then we're done. I just want to put this out there. Michelle Prentice and I were talking about masculine men and bears over the weekend. And like, you know, what's too rough and too hard. I was dating this guy, the guy that did me in mentally, that was a fucking asshole, the Leo Taurus. And we were very much into experimenting with other people. Like I said, I've given rides just like Greyhound. You know what I'm saying? Like I've done my fair share of traveling. I'm not going to lie. I love sex. Back then I'm really, really good at it, believe it or not.
I'm
a Taurus. I'm all about fucking touching. I'm all about body contact. I'm all about keeping things, you know what I'm saying? We ended up, again, experimenting. We'd go to Vegas and we would bring guys back. Just a couple times that, you know, I got down in the sauna there. We went to this, it was supposed to be like a leather bar, and I think it's in Silver Lake or Los Feliz. I'm not sure. And it was trippy because upstairs was a bar, and then you go downstairs, and it looked like something out of like Hostel, that movie Hostel.
So you're like in some sort of sex dungeon?
Yes. I'm not kidding. There was red lights. It was so hard to see, and there was these little rooms that had just beds in there, and you could hear fucking going on, like moaning and groaning. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was low-key intrigued, but at the same time, I was like holding onto my boyfriend's arm, like, please don't let me go because I don't want to get caught. This is when I was in my speed days, and I was 145 pounds, 130 pounds at this time. Well, I thought I looked amazing, but I was fucking skinny. You could blow me over with a breath. And this big fucking gross bear pig. I don't know what else to call them. I think they call themselves pigs and they call themselves bears. I don't know. I'm not with that scene. But he had no shirt on but a vest and he was completely hairy and I hate hairy chest. And his stomach was big and he was very butch and very aggressive. And he had grabbed me by my other arm and said, get in there and get on that fucking bed.
What?
And I was like, what? And he's like, I said, get in there. And he was pulling me in there. I flashed back to my preschool kindergarten days where my great grandpa would drop me off there and I'd be holding onto his pant leg, screaming, I don't want to stay here. Take me home. Take me home. They literally, for 2 hours in preschool and kindergarten, I was bawling until I had until I calmed down. Those memories started flooding back and I was like, I'm going to get fucking raped here. Like all this shit talking that I'm doing is finally caught up with me. This is where you go down. And I managed to get away and I grabbed my boyfriend and said, get me out of here. I got up and like the fucking queer that I am, I got to the top of the bar out on the street and I started crying.
I was going to say, did you start crying?
Yes. You know how I get that scared the shit out of me.
It's all like, traumatic.
It's traumatic. So there's certain things I'm into, there's certain things that I'm not into. I hope you guys love that story, because you guys are probably laughing your asses off on it. If you guys could have seen my face, a lot of you guys get a kick out of my facial expressions. It did a number on me. So we're wrapping up today's episode. I wanted to throw that out there. I wanted to keep it moving. I wanted to keep it fun yet again. But I'm just so looking forward to the rest of summer, looking forward to our event in September. And I'm just fucking looking forward to the future. Those good vibes from earlier this year, from New Year's, remember when we had the positivity train?
Let's keep it rolling.
Fuck yeah. Like, it's weird how 2 weeks ago I was feeling like shit, and now I'm feeling optimistic again. Lesson learned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gassing you guys up. Don't be afraid to go through it, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm good here. I think I want to close out today's episode and just leave you with the mental pictures of the bear pig, me crying, and lessons learned. For those of you wanting to find out what's holding you back so that you can learn your lessons and keep it moving, not distracting yourself, but learning the lesson, incorporating it, applying it, and projecting it, hit me up for a reading. Whether it's a half an hour session or an hour long session, let's start off with a half an hour. Hit me up, chrismedina.guide. Schedule your half hour session with me. Let's find out what's holding you back and preventing you from reaching the next level, or what's holding you back from evolving your soul. For those of you wanting to know what facial expressions I'm rocking, what I'm getting myself into, what amazing food I'm eating, or who I'm hanging out with, feel free to visit my social media outlets. It's at Psychic Chris M. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Psychic Chris M. For those of you wanting to contribute to the show, wanting me to discuss topics, email me. Even if it's just say hi, I look forward to hearing from you guys. I enjoy what you have to say. And one thing, just one thing really fast here. Shout out to all you motherfuckers out there emailing me about the episode where I'm going too hard. You guys, I'm telling you right now, your compliments and your advice and the shit that you tell me is well fucking received. There are times where I look at it and I'm like, just keep fucking going. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing here. I'm not just all about compliments. I'm also in for feedback as well. Email me, askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what you like about the show. Tell me what you want to talk about. Tell me what about you. I don't care what it is. Reach out. This is Chris Medina, the ever-evolving psychic, with my sidekick, my nurturing, and my loving sidekick, Jay, saying, we are the fuck out.
Bye.